For us in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Joshua chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. The text says, "So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." As you take your seats, I want to continue talking about principles for receiving great blessings. Principles for receiving great blessings. This is part two. Let me check back. How many folk in the house want to have great blessings? Am I in the right place? Am I in the right place? In our first sermon, we talked about how we should work on respecting leadership, promise keeping, and being sendable. We noted that Caleb was able to serve well under Moses and Joshua because when you wholeheartedly serve the Lord, you can serve under whoever the Lord sends in the seat of leadership. We talked about promise keeping. Moses promised, Joshua had to keep the promise. How many of y'all know every believer ought to be known for keeping our promises? And then finally, under being sendable, the Bible says that Caleb was 40 years old when he was sent. And I told you that we need some from every generation that we can send. We need everybody to be able to be sent. We need everybody to be able to be sent. We need who? Everybody to be able to be sent. But we show enough need this 30 to 50 year crowd, the middle ages, the crucial linkers, the whatever you want to call them. We need them to manage their time and energy so that they can help serve the need, which may not always be in line with what they want. Jesus was not excited about being crucified. I heard him say, "If it's possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He was willing to do what needed to be done. We need everybody to do the same, but especially the 30 to 50 year demographic. Now, that was the last sermon. This sermon, we're talking about how we should work on understanding generational blessings, trusting God's timing, and trusting God's empowerment. What is he talking about? Understanding generational blessings, trusting God's timing, and trusting God's empowerment. So here we go, understanding generational blessings. In verse 9, do you see that Caleb is requesting some land? And this land is to be a blessing not just to Caleb, but it is to be a blessing to Caleb's children forever. That means his children's children, and on down the line. First thing I want to tell you under generational blessing is that God is able and willing to bless us. Somebody ought to say amen. God is able and willing to bless us. Now, when you don't have much of anything, It seems as if food, clothing, shelter, money is the best blessing that you can get. However, after all of your basic needs have been met, you got more food than you can eat, more clothes than you can wear, shelter over your head is pretty stable, you have transportation, you have some recreation, you discover that the immaterial blessings of God become even more important. I don't have time to walk all the way down this road, but if this interests you, you might want to Google Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, a marvelous discussion about how after the basic needs have been met, those immaterial things become so much more important to you. And what I love about God is he doesn't just have stuff, but he also has those immaterial things that we need in our life. Let me put it like this. We live in a time where there are so many people who suffer from anxiety, panic, and fear attacks. When they hear that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding, that sounds rather attractive to them. We live in a time where there are so many people who suffer from depression, and when depression goes unchecked, it's not strange for it to lead to suicide. This crowd loves to hear that the joy of the Lord is our strength. There are so many folk who feel hopeless and helpless, but I thank God that he provides us hope and he provides us help. I'm thankful for the immaterial blessings of God. But I must also tell you that God has some material blessings. Just like God gave Caleb, Hebron, the hill country, the mountain, says King James Version, God is still able to provide some stuff. He can give us a job. He can give us a business opportunity. He can help us grow our businesses. How many of y'all know God is still able? I love this passage of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28. You ought to read verses 1 through 8 when you get time. Let me just pick at it. In the first verse, it says, God will set you high above all the nations on earth. The third verse goes on to say how God will bless us in the city and bless us in the country. The fourth verse says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. What I'm trying to get you to see is God is able and willing to bless us with more than we can handle. It don't make no sense for you to walk around here jealous about what other people have. The Lord is able to meet all of your needs, so many of your wants, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But not only can God bless us, not only is he able, here's the second thing I'm saying under generational blessings. God is concerned with generational blessings. I said God is concerned with generational blessings. The land given to Caleb was not just for Caleb, but it was for Caleb's children forever. Can you hear that? Generational blessing and children forever. Now, let me remind us that you and I have a responsibility to help our young people appreciate the immaterial blessings of God. We can start by helping them get saved. How many of y'all know our children can be in church, but it doesn't mean they are saved? help them get saved, and then help them get focused on God's purpose for their life. Understand how this thing is supposed to work. God already has a purpose. Our job is to discover and live by God's purpose for our life. It is not our job to kind of create our own purpose and ask God to help us do what we want to do. That's the wrong order. The right order is to find what God wants us to do and ask God to help us do what He has planned for our life. We need to help our young people understand the promises of God, that the more we obey, the more He blesses. The more we disobey, the more stressful and drama-filled our lives are. We need to help them understand the value of peace and joy and hope. There are some things that money and status just can't buy. If you make $100,000 a year, you got the corner office, you drive the shiny car, but you have no peace, you have no joy, you are in a miserable situation. The person that's catching the bus back and forth to work is in a better situation if they got joy and they have peace. They're not looking over their shoulder. They sleep at night. They enjoy their food. We must help our young people understand the immaterial blessings of God. And we ought to help them appreciate the material blessings of God. And in order for them to appreciate the material blessings of God, we ought to work on setting them up to have some material blessings. Proverbs 13:22a, that A stands for what? The beginning, the first part of the verse. Proverbs 13:22a says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Did y'all catch that? A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. So that's not just the children of the rich person, but it's also the grandchildren of the person's wealth. Do you understand that generational blessing? Well, what can you do to help generations after you experience material blessing? Well, you can help them develop some employable competencies. Don't nobody hire you because you're black. Don't nobody hire you because you're cute. Don't nobody hire you because of your last name. They hire you because you can solve a problem. You can get a job done. Help young people develop employable competencies. Help them develop Christian character. Christian character is bigger than praying and memorizing Bible verses. Christian characters will make you show up to work on time. Christian character will stop you from stealing the people's pens and towels and lamps and take them people back their stuff. You ought to go back and repent. Take their stuff back to the job. Help them have the ability to get along with diverse group of people. How many of y'all know things are getting more and more complicated? Just a few years ago when I was a teenager, the biggest challenge for us was white folk had to get along with black folk. That's what we call diversity. Black folk getting along with white folk. That was diversity. How many of y'all know it's a whole lot more complicated now? And now you got black, you got white, you got Hispanic, you got Asian, you got some of all kinds of ethnicities, you got gay, you got straight, you got rich, you got poor, you got middle class. It's much more complicated these days. You got, what is that thing, transvestites? Transgender, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The LGBT community is making us think about some stuff we never had to go this deep down this road. And if our young people cannot learn how to work together, you don't have to be kissing cousins, y'all don't have to go out and eat and drink with one another, but you got to learn how to get this job done because the jobs focus on teamwork now. No longer can you just stand here, put the tire on the car and tighten down the lugs on the wheel. Those days are over. You got to work as a team. And the people on the team may not look like you, they don't smell like you, they don't walk like you, but y'all got to get along and get this job done, or else the whole team is going to get fired. So if you want to help the young people get set up, help them learn how to work. Help them understand that high school is not the end. It's a nice milestone, but it's not the end in this kind of economy. Help them understand that home ownership is more important than a luxury automobile. There's nothing more depressing to me than to see a shiny Lexus in front of an apartment complex. Perhaps what's worse than a shiny Lexus is a shiny leased Lexus in front of an apartment. So it was bad enough that you would buy a consumer item without owning an asset, but it's even worse that you would rent a consumer item in front of an apartment complex. Set them up, but then don't just set them up, teach them how to handle the blessing. There's nothing more disheartening than that story in Luke 15:13, where the father gives his younger son his inheritance early. The 13th verse says, and that young boy went out and wasted his inheritance on riotous living. It's nothing worse than to work and scrape to be able to leave something for your children, and then they waste your inheritance. They waste what you leave for them on crazy stuff. So you can't just set them up. You got to also teach them how to handle the blessing. Now, teaching and training is very important. Yes, yes, yes. But there's another T. It's called timing. In addition to teaching and training, you got to understand timing. No matter how much teaching and training you do, everybody got to go through their 20s before they get 30. Everybody got to go through their 30s before they hit the 40s. Everybody got to go through their 40s before they get to 50s. You can't give a 20-something year old what took you 50 to 60 years old to be able to handle. You got to understand timing. How many of y'all know it just takes time for our young people to grow up? But that's not the only T. Teaching, training, timing, yes, but here's a fourth T. It's called trouble. Young folk have to go through some trouble to help them be able to handle the blessings that's coming their way. They got to put some work in. They need to do some crying. They need to do some sweating. Nothing builds character like trouble. You can teach until you're blue in the face, but trouble will help the lesson get through. Trouble will help them appreciate calm time. When you've never had any trouble in your life, it's boring to just stay at home. But when you've had some trouble in your life, you learn how to appreciate, I'm glad that I can just be at home. Trouble will reinforce what mama them was trying to put into your spirit. How many times have you found yourself in trouble and then remembered what somebody was trying to get you to understand? You know what helps you change your oil every 3,000 miles? Replacing the engine. You know what helps you pay your bills on time? Paying late fees. You know what helps you stop borrowing and maxing out your credit cards and paying the minimum payment? You know what helps you do that? When you see how much compounding interest you're paying. There are people in June paying for stuff that they bought back for Christmas because you've been paying the minimum payment. So what only costs you $500 by the time you get finished costs you over $1,000. But you can't understand that until you've had some trouble. I tried to talk about generational blessing. Turning the corner now, talking about trusting God's timing. In verse 10, Caleb had to wait 45 years after he was sent by Moses. Now, he was 40 years old when Moses sent him. Then he had to wait another 45 years, that's 85 years, for him to get his blessing. Why? Because that was God's timing. Now, let me tell you something now about God's timing. 45 years is a long time. And how many of y'all know that you have to learn how to wait on God's timing? Now listen, when you and I have to wait, and I admit it's not the favorite thing I love about Christianity, I don't love that I have to wait, but I gotta wait. And when it's time to wait, I gotta make a decision. What will I focus on during my waiting time? Will I focus on how long I'm waiting? Or will I focus on what I'm waiting for? That's a great question for our church. Will we spend waiting time waiting for our leaders, disciples, membership to develop? Waiting for our sickness to be turned around? Will we focus on how bad things are? Or will we focus on what we believe God will send? That our sickness is not unto death. Listen, I've learned the hard way that complaining does not speed God up. If anything, complaining slows God down. You can't hurry God, but we might be able to slow him down by complaining. Where's that at in the Bible, Reverend? Numbers 14:27. God's plan A was for the Israelites to move from Egypt to the Canaan land in about 40 days. That's about how long it would have took them on foot at that. But because they kept running their devilish mouth, because they kept complaining, because they kept murmuring, because they kept grumbling, they were complaining, talking about we tired of bread that we did not bake. They were tired of food that came down from heaven. They never said, Lord, thank you that for 40 years my shoes haven't worn out, my clothes haven't worn out. Lord, for 40 years we haven't lost anybody in the battle. Instead of them saying, Lord, thank you for things being as well as they are, they kept running their devilish mouth. And the Lord said, I'm tired of this. Tell you what I'm going to do. Everybody that's 20 years old and up going to die out here in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. I thank God that he sees the exceptional case. I thank God that the Lord don't just wipe us all out wholesale, but he sees you. He sees my faithfulness. But my point is, when you gotta wait on God, instead of focusing on how long you're waiting and complaining about it, you might wanna redirect your attention so you don't tick God off. I'm still talking about trusting God's timing. Now I want to talk about God's keeping power. This is a sub point under God's timing. God's keeping power. Caleb understood that even though he had been waiting for 45 years, God had also been keeping him for 45 years. You know, we miss our shout about God's keeping us, because it's easy to take his keeping us for granted until he's no longer keeping us. Now, if we pass the mic around, you would discover that many of us have had a long, twisting, turning road of life. But when you get finished with your story, add this to it: but God is keeping me. There are other folk who tried to do what you have already done, but they've died and fallen off along the way. How is it that you're still here? The answer to that question is God is keeping you. Instead of you complaining about how long it's taking, learn how to tell the Lord, thank you for keeping me. Instead of getting weary in prayer, teamwork, staying focused, learn how to tell the Lord, thank you. Instead of getting weary with all of the work it takes to keep your attitude, your health, your money, your relationships in order, learn how to tell the Lord, thank you. We ought to learn how to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I don't have time to unpack this, but these tips might help somebody. These are some things that help me focus on the trophy more than the time. I said these are some of the things that help me focus on the trophy more than the time. Help me focus on the medal at the end of the race instead of the pain I'm experiencing in the race. Y'all ready? First of all, I found prayer helps me. Because every time I pray up. I never pray down. I always pray up. God is never under me. God is always above me. And as long as he is above me, he can fix whatever I'm in. Let me tell you about my God. I don't know if y'all have heard about him, but he can fix whatever is broke. He can stop the storms. And then he can also build a shelter for me in the midst of the storm. And every time I pray, I'm reminded of the power of God. And then I like singing. Singing helps me get through stormy weather. It helps me wait with a smile on my face. And you know, things can get so bad that I can't even remember the words and sure enough can't find my key. But I like that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I like the fact, one, that there's only one word in the whole song. Jesus, even I can't forget the word to that song. But the more I call him, the better I feel. And then I've discovered that working takes my mind off the clock. Finding something meaningful to do, serving the Lord helps me focus my energy. Find a way to wait without complaining. Final thing now, under God's timing, is God's provision of health. Here's the third thing under God's timing, is God's provision of health. Caleb was 85 years old and in good health. He said, I'm 85, but I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. Oh, I wish that a part of my legacy of being here in Southern was I urged you and challenged you to think about taking care of your health. There's nothing more terrible than for the Lord to bless you with a mountain and then you don't have the health to climb the mountain. There's nothing worse than to have great blessings, but you don't have health to enjoy the blessing. You got a beautiful car, but you can't even see how to put the key in the ignition, let alone drive down the highway. Take care of your health. Now, I think I've spent enough time talking about your eating, your exercise, your stress management, going to the doctor. Let me spend a hot minute here on your mental attitude. Keep your head right. Negativity can make a bad situation worse. Negativity ages you. Negativity can make you old before your time. Work on keeping your mental space positive. Now, some things that can help you is get you some positive, supportive relationships. You can't hang around negative people and think you're going to be positive. That the people you hang with, their attitudes are contagious. That's why we push the growth group so much. It's an opportunity for you to hang with some positive people. You don't want to hang out with negative folk. They're going to pull you down. And you can't just stay all by yourself, because the devil loves for us to be all by ourselves. But not only relationships, you ought to find something meaningful to do. How can I stay positive? How can I keep my head right? I got these positive people, but what else can I do to stay positive? Do something meaningful. Find something for your hands to do. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You don't want the devil to just find a clean, open space in your mind or your life. You ought to stay occupied and busy doing a great work for the Lord. That's why doing something in church is so important. It's nice that you come to church, but you need to do church. It's nice to come to church, but you ought to do church. The reason we talk about CityLink so much is because it's an opportunity for you to do something that will help somebody other than yourself. Enough about God's timing. Last piece of the sermon now, trust in God's empowerment. Talks about generational blessings, God's timing coming in now, God's empowerment. Caleb asked for Hebron, this hill country, this that the King James called this mountain. He says, give that to me, because with the Lord's help, I will be able to finish conquering the land. Now, the first thing I noticed here was how Caleb expected to do some work. Caleb was not expecting a finished 5-star hotel. He understood that Hebron was a fixer-upper. He understood that he still had some unfinished work to do. You know, there are so many people who only want the finished product. They want money. They don't want a job. They want a happy marriage, but they don't want to do the work of making one another happy. They want health, but they don't want to restrain and restrict diet and exercise. There are folks sitting here now that want more people in the sanctuary, but they're not willing to do the work of evangelism. They're not willing to do the work of edification. How can you have 150 people in worship and can't pass out 30 bundles of evangelism cards? Everybody wants church to be known for love, for worship, community involvement, excellence. Who don't want that? But the crowd gets small when you're looking for who's going to do the work of love, who's going to do the work of worship, who's going to do the work of community involvement. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 talks about that if you don't work, you don't eat. Finally, don't fall asleep on me now. Finally, you see that he was trusting God. Caleb went into the battle not trusting his own strength. He did not go in trusting the loyalty of his soldiers. But he went in talking about how with the Lord's help, I'm able to conquer the foe. May I hasten on and tell you that if the Lord is not on your side, you cannot do anything. If you don't believe me, talk with Abimelech over in Judges chapter 9. Abimelech, the son of Gideon, would tell you that people can be with you in the beginning of the chapter, but by the end of the chapter, you all can be in a blood feud. Y'all remember I told you that without God, we can do nothing. But I thank God that with God, we are still able. It does not matter who is against us, nor does it matter how old we may be. If the Lord is on our side, he's able to keep us from falling. Oh, yes, he is. I heard the Bible say, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. I heard the Bible sing, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord, he will receive me. Isn't God all right? I heard the Bible say, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't God all right here? Oh, I'm praying that everyone under the sound of my voice is already registered to vote in November. I would be so ashamed if you don't go and vote in this general election. But let me tell you, all the way back here in June, that my hope is not in Trump, not in Clinton, not in Sanders. My hope is not in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, but all of my hope is in Jesus. I said Jesus. I gotta come in here. We still gotta serve communion. But y'all listen good here now. Our way might get long, and our burden, it might get heavy, but if we keep our hands in the master's hand, I'm so glad that I can report that God sure enough will take care of his own. Isn't God all right? I was out the other day walking with my grandson, and here he was holding my hand as we walked along. But when we got to a set of stairs, it was time for us to change our grip. When we was walking on level ground, he was holding my hand because he can do pretty well on level ground. But when we got to the stairs, it was time for him to stop holding my hand, and it was time for me to hold his. The reason I had to hold his hand, because his grip is not strong enough to go down the stairs. Get it good now. If he walked down the stairs and lose his footing, he don't have enough strength in his grip to keep from falling. So I thank God our relationship was not based on how strong his grip was, but how strong my grip was. And I told you to tell you this, that in this journey of life, I thank God I got more going for me than my holding God's hand. I thank God that God reaches down and he's holding my hand. Isn't God all right? When I stumble and when I fall, God catches me before I hit rock bottom. And when I know all of my strength is gone, God picks me up, places my feet on a higher ground. Isn't God all right? I got to close here now. But I thank God that what God did for Caleb, he's able to do the same thing and more for you and for me. Isn't God all right? If you want what Caleb had, you've got to be willing to do what Caleb did, and God will take care of his own. If y'all believe me, let me hear you say yes, yes, oh yes. He's able, he's able. Look over and tell somebody, he's able, he's able. If y'all believe that God is able, I dare you to look up and tell the Lord, I'm trusting you, I'm trusting you, I'm trusting, I'm trusting, I'm trusting, I'm trusting you. Anybody here trusting my Jesus? Anybody here trusting my Lord? Don't you worry, don't you fret. The same God that took care of Caleb, he will take care of you. No way in the world God brought you this far just to leave you now. He may not come when you want him, but wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will come. I said he will come. He will come. He will come. Yeah. Yeah. Won't he come? Won't he come? Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, yeah, yeah! 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 He will come. I said he will come. You can't hurry him, but you can slow him down by complaining. Learn how to be of good courage. God sees you. God knows your circumstance. He has not forgotten you. I know it seemed like he should have been here by now. I'm sure Caleb said that 1,000 times. I'm sure Caleb said, look, I'm getting old. I'm 80-some years old. But at God's timing, God came and gave him more than he can handle. If you don't give up on God, God won't give up on you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day to come on over on the Lord's side. If you know you need the Lord in your life, would you come? No matter how jacked up you think your life is, no matter what you've done wrong, failed to do right, you can come. The the door is open. The invitation is extended. If you know you need to come, just step out in the aisle and come on right now.